Jamie Eisenberg, fantasy football NFL analyst for CBS Sports, is with us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Jamie, we appreciate it. And on day one, we've chosen to talk quarterbacks, and you are the guy to help us. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Great, buddy.
Very well. To the people that have already had drafts before this week, what do you say to them?
I say, I hope you got a discount on Jacory Kroski-Merritt and you didn't overdraft Brian Robinson.
Tip of the cap, sir.
Yeah. Localize. You know your audience here. You're cutting a promo. All right, let's talk QB. So give us a couple of guys the arrow's trending up on, down on this draft season.
I think it's kind of one of those positions where you have a very strong group at the top, and then it's a big middle, and then a lot of guys that you can get some good value on. You know, some of the late-round guys that I like, which the arrows would be pointing up, would be Drake May, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, despite the thumb injury. Still Justin Herbert to an extent. You know, there are some good late-round quarterback options, but really it's the guys at the top and when you want to commit to drafting them. So that's Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow, and Jalen Hurts. Those are in a different tier than everybody else.
Apologies, Jamie. What rounds make sense? I mean, there's always going to be the overzealous person who's so excited and does it in round two or, you know, back in round one or early round three, et cetera. I see you let them have theirs. But what round makes sense to grab one of those marquee guys? And then what round sort of makes sense generally for part of that middle pack that you're talking about?
So I think it depends on, you know, if you start three receiver leagues or two receivers, that's kind of, you know, going to determine for me at least when I'm going to dip my toe into the quarterback pool. The earliest, though, would be round three. You know, we kind of see that as a little bit of a lull because the tier break between the running backs and the receivers is kind of at that spot. So if you're not thrilled with the group of running backs like Alvin Kamara and maybe some of the rookies like R.J. Harvey or Trevion Henderson, you're not sold on the older wide receivers like a Mike Evans or Tyreek Hill or Davante Adams, you know, the quarterback should be sitting there. So I think the first three guys will probably come off in terms of Jackson, Allen, and Daniels in that spot. And then early round four is when you'll see Burrow or Jalen Hurts. And also scoring matters, whether it's 6 points for passing touchdowns or 4 points, but whether Burrow goes ahead of a guy like Hurts or behind him.
Is there any real case to be made, Jamie, that Lamar Jackson shouldn't be QB1 off the board? And then give me the tiers of that top group. You mentioned, I think you said Jackson, Allen, Daniels, Hurts, Burrow, something like that as a top five. Like, give us an idea of what the tiers are even within that five.
So I put them all in the same tier because last year Burrow was the number two quarterback. You know, he could be the guy that throws for 5,050, you know, like we saw Mahomes once upon a time. I kind of just lumped them all together. But if we were going to separate them, I put the first three as Jackson, Allen, and Daniels, and then a slight break between Burrow and Hurts just because I think based on what the first three guys do with their legs and as passers, I kind of separate them a little bit. Hurts, if he decided to throw the ball more, I think would be in that group. But I don't think you're going to commit to throwing the ball as much as long as Saquon Barkley is healthy. So there's a little bit of a tier break there between the first three and the second two. And then Dance, I didn't get your other question in terms of the middle tier guys. So when you get to that group of Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, Bo Nix, I put Dak Prescott in that group as well. The earliest I want to draft those guys is like round six. But Mahomes, if Rashee Rice's suspension, which we're not going to know until most likely after the first 4 weeks of the season, is minimal, I think Mahomes could challenge to be in the top five, but I don't think if he doesn't have Rice for the majority of the season, I think it kind of puts him just slightly behind those guys.
So I'm glad you brought him up, and Jamie Eisenberg is our guest from CBS as we talk a little fantasy football here on Grant and Danny. We'll do a different position every day right at 5 o'clock this week to get you ready for your drafts. Mahomes, I think there's a case to be made. He's the greatest quarterback of all time this deep into his career. He's outpacing and outperforming in every way. Tom Brady is an example who people have with that distinction. But it's been three seasons since he was a beast statistically. I don't know what I'm missing. Like, it was barely 4,000 the last couple of years with mid-20s touchdowns. He doesn't really run a lot at all. Like, what am I missing about him to be the QB6 in fantasy football?
Well, I think first off, the expectations the last 2 years were unrealistic for what everybody was thinking. Exactly what you're saying, which I don't disagree with. You know, he's tracking still to be, you know, arguably the best quarterback of all time. And so for them, it was more, I think, about wins, getting to the end of the season, make sure everybody was healthy, and then sort of flipping the switch. We saw it 2 seasons ago when it worked in the 2023 campaign. It didn't work as much, obviously, in 2024. But right now, it looks like their offensive line is going to be maybe as strong as it's been in the last couple of years. And hopefully the receiving corps will be as strong as it's been the last couple of years, maybe ever for Mahomes, because if he has Rice for the majority of the season, you saw what Xavier Worthy was at the end of last season. Marquise Brown is a very underrated third receiver. they have a couple field stretchers and a guy like Tyquan Thornton, for example, which could open up some things. And then we'll see what Travis Kelce has left. So I'm curious to see if it's going to be, okay, we've stacked our Super Bowl rings. We're still going to be in the mix, but maybe now it's padding my legacy a little bit and trying to get back in that MVP conversation that he was left out of last year because of Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and obviously Josh Allen. So that's the hope, is that he comes out and says, you know, I'm going to be aggressive, attack, not just wait for, you know, Andy Reid to say, go get me a touchdown. Let's do that on every other drive. And if that happens, he could be one of the best statistical quarterbacks. So the value is much better. The expectations are more in check. And if he fails as a round six pick, you're okay with it comparatively to where he was last year as a round two pick.
Jamie, I have what in fantasy what I always call my Curtis Martin corollary, which is we're always looking for the next big thing and we ignore the boring, dependable, good thing to the tune of a guy that's like top five all time in rushing and a great fantasy player almost every year in Curtis Martin. I never owned him just because I was like, this is so boring. It's going to break down. I want the new exciting thing. Where is that with quarterback? And are we missing value maybe on some guys that are kind of old, faithful, and dependable, even if they're names that are, you know, aren't that exciting to us anymore?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a great comparison. I think the old dependable guys, or at least, you know, I don't want to say they're old, but the dependable guys feel like Dak Prescott is a good one because when he's been healthy, he's been one of the better fantasy quarterbacks, and part of the reason why Dallas has good regular seasons and not great playoff runs. And so now you're adding George Pickens to CeeDee Lamb and Jake Ferguson and probably a bad run game, and we could see a lot of high-scoring affairs for the Cowboys from an offensive standpoint, so I like him. Jared Goff is coming off a great season. I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back because it's kind of unrealistic to expect them to lose their coordinator and two offensive linemen and to still be as good as they were. But, you know, you're seeing maybe an additional weapon in Tesla and, you know, the same cast of characters with maybe a better year for Jameson Williams. So Jared Goff is going to still be one of the better quarterbacks and probably continually underrated. And then you have, you know, some of the guys that if you just wait on the position, you know, again, Justin Herbert, T.J. Stroud, Tua Tagovailoa, you know, they're not going to be great. And they may have some you know, clearly flaws. You know, the Chargers are going to run the ball a lot. The Dolphins have a lot of questions with everything. But, you know, Tua's a year removed from leading the NFL in passing yards. C.J. Stroud was a huge bust last year. But, you know, if he bounces back and maybe has a better receiving core because everybody's healthy now, can also deliver some. So you can get some good play fantasy production from that position without having to spend a lot of draft capital on it.
So to that point, and Jamie Eisenberg of CBS is with us on Grant and Danny talking fantasy quarterbacks. I have done this for years where I won't draft a QB before, like, I don't know, rounds 12 to 15. And I'll forever, it was, you know, your like Derek Carr, you know, Jared Goff, essentially, like that type of player. And it would just be 4,000 yards, 29 touchdowns. And I wasn't going to win or lose the league on that. But it seems like the way now things have trended with the running quarterbacks and the touchdowns that are six pointers, that is putting me behind more and more. Are those days done, or do you still not have a problem with that philosophy?
It worked out great last year. You know, if you just look at average draft position and then finish, five quarterbacks that were drafted after basically pick 100 overall. Jared Goff was also in that range. Bo Nix was not drafted in the majority of the leagues. There were a lot of guys that you just got, you know, lucky with that they performed at the level that they did, and I think that's where the position's at, to be honest with you. It's like, while they're not always great NFL quarterbacks, they're able to produce at a high level. And like you said, the running quarterback sort of changed that. So one of my favorite guys that for some reason is still going late is Drake May. You know, all they've done is given him a better offense coordinator, rebuilt their offensive line, rebuilt their receiving core. And he was on pace last year for his 10 healthy games to be third among quarterbacks in rushing yards with about 630. So you can get him for almost for free on draft day. I have him as a top 12 quarterback, but Fields is very polarizing. Obviously, what he's going to do with his legs is going to probably supersede what he does with his arm. But he's great for fantasy, better than in reality. You know, now you have Daniel Jones, who last time we saw him as a full-time starter, you know, 3,700, which is, you know, only 16 quarterbacks have ever done that in NFL history. Maybe Anthony Richardson gets back in there. Kyler Murray is falling on draft day. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with the position. For me, I tend to wait just because if I don't get one of those top five guys, I'm probably just going to play it out and get the value as the draft goes on.
I know we're focused on quarterbacks, Jamie, but this is kind of more of a general question. You're one of the experts I'm really a big fan of. Just in terms of your approach this year, it's hard to find consensus on almost anything at the top of the board, the middle of the board, sort of, et cetera. Just sort of where are you generally, you kind of answer this now, but go into it. Where are you normally drafting quarterbacks, and how are most of your rosters and teams kind of set up here as you go about your leagues?
Yeah, I really, when it comes to quarterback, I'm looking for the best value that I can possibly get. So I did a draft last week. You know, it depends with other fantasy analysts because we're all sort of playing the quarterback waiting game. So I got Lamar Jackson like in the round five range, you know. So if I see one of those top five guys, you know, fall past round four, it's just easy to select them and just kind of figure out the rest. Generally, I'm living in the middle to the back end of my top 12, which is Bo Nix, Dak Prescott, Drake May, Justin Fields, Kyler Murray, you know, and then if I take those guys and I don't love a lot of the late round value on certain players, I'll take an upside play on a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who I think will benefit in a major way with the addition of Liam Cohen and Travis Hunter. Again, I think Jordan Love will bounce back because he played through two injuries last year. So there's good number two quarterbacks that you can find. In a lot of cases, depending on how your league goes, you may find them on waivers, you know, early in the season. So for me, I tend to load up on running backs and receivers early. I'll take the value on one of the top three tight ends, which would be Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, or George Kittle. But for quarterback, I tend to wait on the position and try and find one of the late round values that hopefully will hit. Like I said last year, you know, find one of those top 10 guys later in the draft.
Two QBs. I'll let you out on this one that I'm just curious about this season. What are your expectations statistically for Bryce Young in Carolina and same division, Michael Penix in Atlanta, first year as a starter?
So another, you know, pair of quarterbacks that you can wait for more as number two options. You know, you could throw J.J. McCarthy in the conversation too, just another young quarterback. But the two you asked about specifically, look, they showed some nice things at the end of last season. Bryce Young, you know, after getting benched, he bounced back. I think getting Adam Thielen back was big for him because he missed the start of the season with a hamstring injury. And now you throw Teddero McMillan in there, maybe a solid receiving core that's going a little bit underrated, especially if Jalen Coker gets some more playing time as well. So I do think Bryce Young's going to have a good season. I just don't know, like, where his ceiling lies personally. You know, we're talking maybe 21, 22 points per game in a 6 point for passing touchdown league. So not a huge ceiling, but good enough to be in the top 12 conversation. And look, for Michael Penix, they averaged over 30 points per game last year as an offense, as a team, I should say. Great running back, two great wide receivers, maybe still a good tight end, a defense that's going to struggle so they could throw the ball a lot. I don't love the offensive line injuries that they're dealing with right now, but it wouldn't shock me if he's in that top 12 conversation as well. So you know that division's bad. They're going to have a chance for some shootouts. And so if you do miss on the position, those are two guys that can certainly be, again, the type of quarterback that I mentioned that could creep into that top 10 conversation by the end of the year.
Jamie, keep up the great work, man. I'm a fan. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Check out Jamie's work at CBS. Hopping on Grant and Danny every day at 5, different position. Tomorrow, we will talk running backs. So excited to be able to help get you guys ready for your drafts and selfishly get ourselves ready for the Grant and Danny Listener League draft.
A little bit of that, yeah.
Pupatella in Springfield on Wednesday night. Darris, Ryan, Toby putting the league together, finalizing everything. So you will hear from them if you made the league. A lot of people trying to get in, and we are pulling names and finalizing things today. You'll hear from them tonight, and then we draft on Wednesday.